If you are currently in a job you don't like and you are having a hard time figuring out what else you can pivot into, what else you're qualified for, then it's likely that you currently don't have career clarity and that is why you feel stuck. So in this episode, I am breaking down the three specific things you need to know about yourself before you can successfully pivot into a career that actually fulfills you, pays you well, and doesn't require you to start over from scratch. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who is stuck in a career that is draining the life out of her, has no idea what else she could do, and has been waiting for things to change for way too long. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from being unhappy in a job that drained me, sitting in a windowless office, wondering if this is all my life was really meant to be about, to building a career I've genuinely loved and thrived in for over 12 years now. I know what it feels like to go from drained and stuck at work to doing work that genuinely lights you up and fulfills you, and I'm here to help you do the same. Whether you're ready to pivot into a whole new career path or step into the role and recognition you've already earned in your career, this is where you are going to get clear on who you are, what fulfillment looks like for you, and how to make it happen with faith as the foundation. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. I hope that you're well. Thanks for being here. Today, we are talking about a key ingredient that you need to have a successful career pivot. Well, really, it's three key ingredients, but they come together to give you one thing. And so just really talking through what is it that you need to successfully pivot into not just any job, but like a career path that you genuinely enjoy in a new field or industry where you're either making the same amount of money you are now or more. So doing it without taking a pay cut. And this episode, I think, is really important because as I've been talking to people about career pivots, whether it is on like Instagram, on TikTok right now, on Threads, I am hearing the same thing over and over again from women, which is, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what I could pivot into. That is why I feel stuck. And when I take those conversations and even put them in context of clients that I've worked with, a lot of times what I've noticed the pattern is when you don't like your job and you're unhappy in your job and you know that you want to make a pivot and do something else, most people just default to, okay, let me go out there and see what is out there. Let me see what else I can do. Let me look at job boards. But then doing that makes you feel just a little bit more confused, overwhelmed, and stuck because you're looking at these jobs and they're not really telling you much, right? Like you're looking at the jobs, but you still don't know if you can do them, if you will enjoy them, if they will be fulfilling. And so you just feel stuck even more. It's like, okay, I see these job postings, but what is right for me? I think this can especially be worse if you have been on the same path in your career for years. So think 8 or more years, because you are so ingrained in how you do things in terms of like how you do your work and the kind of industry you're in and the kind of skills that you use. You're so ingrained in that seeing yourself, even trying to picture yourself doing something else, can be really hard, which can then make you feel even more stuck when you're looking at these job postings because you're like, okay, but what would it even be like to do this job? I don't know if this is right for me or not. And so ultimately, the big problem here is that you are trying to pivot without career clarity. And you cannot pivot successfully if you don't fundamentally know who you are. And I don't mean that in some kind of abstract existential way. I mean it very, very practically. If you don't know what is important to you, if you don't know what you enjoy doing, if you don't know the kind of impact you want to have, you literally cannot find a job. Okay, let me take that back. I was going to say you cannot find a job that you will love. You could mistakenly stumble into a job that you will love, but if you are like the kind of women that I work with, you're not trying to mistakenly stumble into anything, right? Like you are established in your career, bills are paid, benefits are good. So you're like, if I'm going to make a career move, it's because you specifically want fulfillment, which means there needs to be intentionality with the move, not just a random stumble. You're like, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I ain't trying to stumble into nothing. And so a lot of women skip the clarity work and jump straight into the job searching I was talking about of looking at job boards. And you're applying randomly or maybe even making lateral moves, hoping that will fix the unfulfillment and dissatisfaction you have in your career. But usually, again, you end up in another job that you hate or you end up stuck. So before you can even figure out what else you can do for you to have and pivot into a more fulfilling career path that also pays you what you desire, you need to know three very specific things about yourself that will give you career clarity. And those three things are your values, your interests, and your skills, specifically the skills you actually enjoy using. And the reason why, like, you might have heard people say this in the past, right? You might have heard values, interests, like, this might not be, you're like, okay, this is not new, I've heard this before. But do you know why you need those things practically to make a pivot? Right? Like, I think it's easy to hear, oh, I need to know what's important to me. Okay, and then what do you do with that information? Because this is not meant to be just some, like, self-reflection work where you're doing, like, inner reflection and then nothing. Like, the whole point of this clarity is to give you career clarity, to help you understand what kind of roles you will enjoy. So those three things I mentioned specifically matter for you if you're trying to pivot, because that is how you will figure out which industries, which companies, and which roles you will thrive in. There's like a direct connection between your values, interests, and skills and the types of jobs, companies, and industries you will actually feel fulfilled in. So if you don't clarify these three things, you're essentially flying blind and trying to make your pivot. And this is why you consistently feel like there are no options out there for you, a pivot is too risky, or feeling stuck. So let me break down. What I want to do in this episode is really help you understand, what are these three things that you need? Why do you need them? And how do they specifically help you have a successful career pivot? So first was your values. Your values are your boundaries. Think of them as your compass. They direct your beliefs, what you think is important. I like to think of these as your non-negotiables, where I always used to say to my, like, to potential clients, I believe that if you are in a job that is not aligned with your values, you will 98% guaranteed be unhappy in your career. And the only reason I say 98% is because I'm a researcher, and so I'm leaving a 2% margin of error. But truly, it is 100% guaranteed. Because for you to thrive in a work environment, it has to fundamentally support who you are, nourish who you are, make you feel like you can show up authentically and fully as yourself. And your values are a core part of your self-concept of, you know, how you see yourself, the things that are important to you, your beliefs. Like, I will use myself as an example. I value creativity in whatever aspect. I value creativity. I remember years ago, maybe about 10 years ago now, or a little bit before that, I'm telling y'all a secret. I started a yoga page. This is back when I don't practice anymore. I used to practice yoga. And I remember thinking, oh, I just want to be creative and I want to, like, create art with my body. And so I had an Instagram page. I'm never going to share the handle, but I had an Instagram page where I would just do yoga poses and take pictures. And for me, that felt like I was expressing myself creatively. Like, so whatever, like, I wouldn't think of myself traditionally as an artist, but if I look at the way that I dress, the way that I design slides, like, to me, that is a way of being creative. And so if I was ever in a industry or a career path that did not allow me to be creative, that is stifling something that feels like a fundamental part of who I am and how I want to show up in the world. There is no way I will be happy or fulfilled. Right? And so your values are the things that have to be true for you to thrive in a work environment. And it's important to say here, like, this is not what you think you should value. This is not what you used to value 10 years ago. This is what matters to you now, right now, as you are listening to me in this season of your life, what is important to you? And when I actually first started working as a career coach, I never would have said that part of, you know, not what you should value, because to me, I always just assumed people knew their values. And it wasn't until I had a session with a client, and she came into session, she had done, because, you know, the way I work with a lot of my clients is I'll give you some activities and things to do in between our sessions so that when we come to work together, we're really focused, we're taking that, we're turning it into information. So she had done some values work outside of session. So we came in and we were processing, and I asked, okay, you know, what are the values you have? She told me her top five, and I asked her, how did those feel? And as she was reflecting, because she was a mom, she was in education, she was a teacher, she'd been a teacher for about 16 years. And I think her second top value there, it said family. And as she was talking to me and we were processing, she's like, you know, as I actually think about my career, I honestly don't think family is really that crucial. It's not a non-negotiable. And I was like, you know, tell me more. And as we spoke more, what came out was, She had put family as a top value because she assumed that as a mother, she should put family as a top career value. Like that, like, because I am a mother, that should be the top thing. And we had a process and I'm like, no, like nobody can tell you what is important to you. And that's what your values are. Nobody can dictate that for you, regardless of whatever identities you have. Yes, you hold the identity of mother. However, we mother differently. We parent differently. And your life values are not always your career values. There can be intersection, but they're not always the same. So while your family might be important to you in general, you might say, but I don't need my career to always create time for me to be with my family. I know how to make that happen on my own. Or I don't need a career that allows me to like just leave work to be with my family. However you define that, because that's the thing about values is we all define values differently. And that's something I do with my clients. But all that to say was she ended up restructuring her values. Things that were now at the top were things like recognition, high earnings expected, stability. I forgot some of the other ones, but family was not one of her top five non-negotiables. It was a value, but not a top five. And ever since then, like that moment with my client just made me realize that a lot of times a place where people can get stuck when they are trying to create their values is that you're picking values that you think you should have based on either socialization or things that used to matter to you in a different season of life. Right. So let's say you say to yourself, okay, I value stability, but what you actually value is growth and challenge. You convinced yourself that stability is important because there was a time in your career where you used to be scared. Maybe you were scared of, you know, not being financially stable. You were scared. You've been maybe unhoused before and you didn't want to be in that situation again. However, now you've reached a point in your life where you have grown financially, your investments are good, your retirement fund is good, and you realize, oh, wait, hold on. That's stability is no longer a fear. Like I've held on to it because a past version of me used to be afraid, but now I feel pretty stable. So I don't value it as like, it's not necessary in my workplace. I'm in a season of life where I want to grow and be challenged. Or you might say, oh, I value work-life balance. But when we dig deeper, what you really value is autonomy and control over your work schedule, not necessarily working fewer hours. Those are different things. So it is so important that you are not, when you are clarifying your values, you are not going off of, again, maybe how you've been socialized or what you think you should value or what you think will make you look good, but you're really being honest and true with yourself and saying, what is important to me in this season of my life? Another place where I've seen women get stuck with values is using words that are vague. So you'll look at, you know, like that list, like you've probably seen a list of values online before. So you look at a list of values and you're like picking something. But what does diversity actually mean to you? What does work-life balance actually mean? Because just like I was saying earlier, somebody could value family, or I should say two women could value family, and it could look very different. One woman's definition of valuing family might be, oh, I want my job to give me time to go to a field trip in the middle of the day. And another person's definition of family might be, oh, I just don't want my job to text me after 6 p.m. Or another person's definition of family might be, I don't want to be in a job that makes me feel like I cannot talk about my family or have pictures of them in my office, but I don't really care about like time and hours. Do you see how those are all three very different ways of looking at family as a value, but we're using the exact same word? So when you use these vague words like independence, autonomy, family, diversity, without getting super specific about what that means, you cannot use them to filter for roles. Okay. You then have a hard time of, okay, what does this mean when I'm looking at a potential job and whether or not it will violate my value? So all that being said, as a career changer, why does this matter for you specifically? Well, you have to recognize that different industries have different core values. Like industries actually have their own value systems, whether they're written or unwritten. And if your personal values do not align with an industry's operating values, you will feel the misalignment immediately you get in there. And I should actually say industries and companies. Okay. So for you as a career changer, you're not just looking for a better company in the same industry. You're probably trying to figure out what industry do I even want to go into first and then find companies within that space. Your values is what helps you answer that question. So let me give you some examples. When I say industries have different values and why you need to know your values to know what industry you'll thrive in, I want to give you like just three different examples. So let's start with like finance. Okay. Finance as an industry tends to, and I'm speaking in generalizations, within every industry, there obviously will be exceptions, but when we look at them globally, generally, this is what we see. Finance will value things like precision, ROI, so return on interest, data-driven decisions, competition, performance, and results over relationships. So when you look at the day-to-day mode of operating in a finance space, you might see that every decision is backed by data. You're being measured on performance. Speed and accuracy matters, or relationships can be very transactional. So if you're someone who values creativity and flexibility and building relationships as opposed to numbers, and you value collaboration as opposed to competition, if you are in the finance industry, it will feel cold and draining and rigid no matter what type of job you're doing in that industry, because the space, the environment, the industry as a whole in an entirety does not make you show up authentically and feel good. But if you are someone who values clear metrics, you value merit-based rewards, high earning potential, fast-paced decision-making, then you might thrive in finance because the way of working will allow you to show up authentically. So for example, I think of there are often women who feel guilty for being competitive, so to speak, like right for having a competitive nature because they think it's not feminine, that we're supposed to be collaborative. And I'm like, no, we are all very unique and individual. And so imagine a woman who has been hiding that competitive nature because she thought it made her unladylike, or however you want to define it. And in the finance industry, she gets to really show that. She gets to be competitive and show her numbers and talk about her ROI. That is the right fit for her. Right. Another example is education. So education as an industry tends to value growth, development, patience, long-term impact, service, and collaboration. So when we look at how people tend to work in the day-to-day space in education, progress is slow. And I said it like that because I have worked in K-12 and higher education. Like if you don't know my background, just to tell you real quick, I started my fulfilling career journey in counseling as a school counselor. So before I was in healthcare data entry and I was not happy. So I made my first career pivot into the counseling space where I worked as a school counselor. And I've counseled elementary students, middle school students, and high school students. So I did K-12 education. And then I went to work as a mental health counselor on a college campus and then pivoted into a career counselor at a career services center. And during that time, I would work with everyone. So I've literally worked with, like when it comes to career development work, I've done from like age 5 all the way to 65. I've done the gamut of it. And then I was a professor for 7 years and I was teaching master's and PhD level students. So when I say education progress is slow in education is because I have worked in there. And so I know what that is like. And in education, impact tends to be measured over years, not quarters, right? Compensation can be lower than corporate spaces, but the work is relational and mission-driven. So if you're someone who values fast results, high compensation, recognition, and upward mobility, education might feel like you're being undervalued and frustrating. But if you value making a difference, seeing people grow, patience, equity, purpose, education might be a great fit for you. But you would have to know those things about yourself, right? You would have to know that this is what I value to know that, oh, this industry is or is not going to make sense. Let me give you one more example. So think about the healthcare industry. Healthcare tends to value care, protocol, compliance, patient outcomes, a lot of teamwork because different providers tend to be working in tangent, accuracy, and safety. So when we think about the day-to-day work in healthcare, there's going to be a lot of rules. Processes might be slow just because safety matters. So things are being double and triple checked. You might be working in teams. The stakes are high. And there tends to be a lot of bureaucracy in that space also. So if you value autonomy, taking risks, trying new things, inventing new approaches, making fast decisions, flexibility, healthcare might feel really bureaucratic and rigid for you. However, if you value helping people, structure, teamwork, making an impact on somebody's well-being, healthcare would be a great fit. So ultimately, your values help you understand what industries you will thrive in and what companies within those industries will then be a culture fit. Because again, companies also have their own values. So if you have been miserable in your current industry for years, there's a good chance that your personal values don't align with that space and how that industry operates. And no amount of self-care or reflection is going to fix that. You need to pivot into an industry whose operating values matches yours. And something that I can say for a fact from doing this work with clients over the past 7 years is that you often need external perspective to help you clarify your values. You often need external perspective to help you, you know, figure out what is important to me. Why is it important? Really get specific. What will this look like in a workplace? What would this look like in a work environment for you to then decide that that is the right space for you? So that is the first thing that you need to clarify for a successful career pivot, because your values helps you understand what industries and what companies will make sense for you. Hey, if you are unhappy in your career right now, whether you are not sure what your next move is, you've tried to make a change and it hasn't worked, or you just know something needs to shift, but you don't know where to start, I want to invite you to schedule a free career clarity call with me. On this call, we'll get to the root of what is keeping you stuck in your career, and I will show you the 3 specific ways I can help you hit your career goals. You can go to hercareerdoctor.com/call to schedule your career clarity call today. Now let's get back to the episode. The second thing that you need to clarify for a successful career pivot are your interests. So your interests are what you are genuinely curious about, what problems you want to solve, what engages you, what do you read about, what videos do you watch, what do you get lost in, even when you're not getting paid to do it. Interests matter because this is how we feel engaged in our work. So if you currently feel really bored in your job, it's like mind-numbing, humdrum, you're like, I could do this in my sleep. There is a misalignment between your interests and the work that you're doing. That is likely what is going on. And so when you clarify your interests, then you can figure out what kinds of jobs and job activities will actually engage me and make me feel motivated in my career again. What will actually make me feel excited about the world of work again? You might be listening to me and thinking, excited? You're right. No, legit. Like, I have had clients after working with me where they're like, I am excited about my career again for the first time in years. This is the importance of clarity. You can genuinely feel good about what you spend most of your days doing. And one of the reasons why this is so important is you can do the same job in almost any industry, right? Like, industries tend to have the same roles for the most part. Almost every industry has a program manager, has an accountant, has an executive assistant, has a project manager, has an HR, right? Has an operations person, has a finance person, right? Has a communications person. Like, roles repeat themselves across industries. However, roles will not be as engaging to you across industries because the interest that you have will determine how engaged you are in the content of that industry. So let's take, for example, being a program manager in education or a program manager in entertainment. You're fundamentally doing the same role. You're managing different programs. You're maybe ensuring that they flow well, that you have the right stakeholders, that you're meeting timelines. Like, same thing for the most part, managing programs, but the industry is different. If you are not interested in education, so if you don't care about learning, development, equity, depending on the level, right? So K-12 or higher ed, kids, you will be bored out of your mind, even if you like the mechanics of being a program manager. Because when you guys are in meetings and you're talking about the nitty-gritty of the programs, you're like, oh, this is boring. Like, I don't really care about the kids, or I don't really care about, you know, learning or topics, or, you know, about outcomes and learning outcomes. I don't care about that stuff. So while you might not mind the mechanics of the job, the work will be boring to you because the content of what you're engaging in, what you guys talk about in, what you all talk about in meetings, you don't enjoy that. Now, imagine if you are interested in entertainment. So you like storytelling, you like media, you like pop culture. That same program manager role in an entertainment industry is going to feel completely different because now the content of the work engages you. You are actually interested in the work. You're like, oh, we're talking about, you know, let's say it's photography. I'm going to just, you know, try my best here, y'all. This is not my field. Be like, oh, we're talking about ISO and depth and background and scouting sites and, you know, portraits, whatever it may be. And so even as you are building these programs, you care about the content that the program is covering. So now you like the mechanics and the work itself is exciting and engaging to you. Your interests determine whether the content of the work will engage you long term and not just the function of actually doing the job. And so hopefully from this, you're hearing where I'm going to go next, but your interests also help you identify what industry you will thrive in and what kind of role would genuinely excite you. So think about it this way. Values helps you see which industries can I show up authentically in. Interests help you see, okay, what industry will actually be exciting and what kinds of roles, the day-to-day tasks, will actually keep me motivated. Okay, so the industries that make sense for you sits at the intersection of your values and your interests. So if you're someone that you know that you are interested in mental health, counseling, neuroscience, then going into education, healthcare, coaching, or even research might be the kind of work that really grabs your attention, keeps you excited day in and day out. If you are saying, oh, well, I'm more interested in like social justice and equity and systemic change, then you might want to be in nonprofit or government or policy type roles or even advocacy type companies. So your interest also helps you see your zone of genius, which that is really like, where do you thrive in the work that you're doing? Where do you come alive? Where is it that you're doing work that isn't mind-numbing and makes you feel good? Your interests help you understand the kinds of problems that you want to spend your time solving. And if I look historically, there are two reasons that I have seen why people tend to struggle with clarifying their interest. One is you just have too many interests. So you're like, I'm interested in social justice and design and wellness and education. How do I pick one? And I think there's two things here that's making this one hard. One, you think you have to choose just one interest and then build your entire career around it. But the truth is you don't have to abandon your other interests. You can find a role or an industry where multiple interests can show up. So for example, if you were interested in both mental health and education, you could work in curriculum design for mental health training programs, or you could be a program manager in a mental health nonprofit, or you could be in HR designing employee wellness initiatives. All of those intersect with both education and mental health, right? So the key is identify which interests are really core and how can they intersect in one space using the role and the industry to mix and match. The other thing is really clarifying which of these interests do you want to be in your job and which ones need to just stay a hobby. Not every interest needs to be part of your work. Like I think of myself, I really am interested in things like makeup and fashion and jewelry. I'm not a jewelry designer. I am not in fashion. Those things are just personal, right? So you don't have to put every interest into your career. The other thing that I've seen, I said there were two reasons people struggle with this, right? So the one is too many interests. The other reason why you might struggle with clarifying your interests is that you think your interests aren't serious enough for them to be a career. I've seen and heard a lot of people dismiss their real interests because they don't think they can build a real career around them, right? They might say things like, I'm interested in art, but that's not practical. Or I'm interested in sports, but I'm not an athlete. I'm interested in travel, but that's just a hobby. So then you suppress what you are actually interested in and try to force yourself to be interested in what seems more marketable or stable. But the truth is that almost every interest has some kind of career pathway that you can tap into. If you are interested in art, you could work in museum operations. You could work in art therapy. You could work in gallery management or graphic design or branding or UX design. The options are endless. If you're interested in sports, you could go into sports marketing, athletic program management, sports psychology, event coordination, sports journalism, even athletic training. So the struggle here isn't that your interests are viable. It's that you don't know how or haven't given yourself an opportunity to figure out how to translate them into actual career options. And this is where working with a career coach can be really helpful. Because when you work with a coach, it can really open up your mind into seeing, okay, before we dismiss this interest, how can we integrate it into your work in some way, shape, or form? So your values help you figure out what industries make sense. Your interests help you understand what industries will feel good and what roles will be engaging. And then the third thing you need to clarify are your skills. Okay. And not just, and this is very important for me to say, because if you are a mid-career professional woman who is unhappy in your career, that also probably means that you have been working for 10, 12, 20 years at this point. You have a lot of skills. So we don't just want a list of all the skills you have. You need a list of the skills that energize you, the skills that make you feel good when you use them, the skills that make time fly by, the skills that make you feel strong and confident and capable. I call these your high power skills because they make you feel powerful. Okay. Your skills are what you use to complete your tasks. And this is important because tasks are role specific. Right now, your brain is probably really focused on your tasks. So when you think about changing careers, when you think about making a career pivot, you think you are not qualified for anything else because you have been looking at your career through the lens of tasks. I manage budgets, I run meetings, I write reports, I train new hires. And all those tasks feel like they are very specific to your current role or your current industries. But every task you complete usually requires multiple skills to complete that task, and those skills transcend industries. Okay, so the skills are what you use to complete tasks, and skills are transferable. When you know what skills you enjoy using as somebody who's trying to make a career pivot, that will open the door for you to understand what roles you will actually enjoy doing day to day and not just surviving in them, but thriving in them. Your skills that you enjoy using is how you then, because right now at this point with the first two things, we're still very broad in the options available to you. Okay, if we clarify your values and you're like, oh, I know what industry I can go into, there's hundreds of companies in that industry. Okay, and they're like, you know what? Okay, I figured out my interest and now I know my values. So I know what kind of company and what kind of industry. Okay, but there are probably hundreds of different types of jobs that they hire for in that company. Your skills now helps us narrow it down even further, because when you clarify the skills you enjoy using, what you might realize, I'm thinking of, okay, let me give you a tangible example. I just started working with a client. She's an executive director of a nonprofit, and she's been working for 13 years, which means at this stage of her career, she has developed the skills where she could successfully do operations role, strategy roles, program development roles. And she had been applying for three to four different types of jobs. And again, on paper, you're qualified. She is qualified to do those jobs. But when we clarify what kind of skills do you enjoy using, and that's what we did. So within we just started working together maybe 2 weeks ago, she already has narrowed down and has clarity. She's like, you know what I want to do? I really want to do the organizational change and consulting. I want to help nonprofits build operations and systems. Can you see how that is so much more specific than saying program management, strategy, operations, consulting for nonprofits around operating systems. Now, when she goes to talk to her network, she can be very specific in what she's asking for. And when people see that specific thing, she's the first one they're going to think of. When you know what skills you enjoy using, it helps you narrow down into the specific role that you want to transition into. And the biggest challenge here that I see for career changes with trying to clarify your skills is that you are often, you're doing one of two things. You're conflating your task with your skills, or you're just listing every skill that you have and trying to go based off of that. Okay. But like I talked about earlier, your task is not your skills. Your task is, I manage the budget for my department. That is very specific to finance. The skill to do that task are financial analysis, forecasting, risk assessment. You communicate with stakeholders. You're making decisions under constraints. All those skills are transferable to things like operations, consulting, strategy across multiple industries. So when you break down your task into the underlying skills, it will help you see what else you're qualified for. Not to mention, when you ask yourself, not just what can you do, but what do you enjoy doing, then it will really show you what kind of work will you actually be energized in, not just like slugging through the day and trying to survive in this role. Okay. When you have been in your career for a long time and you have been unhappy for a lot of that time, you often lose touch with what you actually enjoy because you have been performing and producing for so long that you have stopped paying attention to how the work even makes you feel. Like, you can be excellent at doing something and hate doing it. I have had clients who were amazing at data analysis, but it drained them, who were great at managing people, but it was exhausting to them. So it's not like, I don't want you to ask yourself, what can you do? Because you're a high achieving, accomplished woman. You can do a lot of things. But if you are in a job right now and you're like, my job is pretty stable, but I don't like it, you're not going to just make a pivot because you can do something. Again, I said this earlier, the goal is to make a pivot because it will fulfill you. And so the way that you pick what will fulfill you is by figuring out what kind of roles is it that will actually energize you. So as somebody who is trying to make a career pivot, it's important to recognize that the stakes are higher for you. Right? Somebody who is job searching in the same field, like they're just looking for a new job, they already know what industry they're going to be in. They know the type of role that they're trying to land. They know the kind of company they do or don't want to be in. So they're just looking for a better version of what they already have, right? A better manager, a better team, better pay. And I'm not minimizing that. I help my clients do that also, where they're like, I just want to be in a different company. I don't know how to market myself. So that's fine. I am speaking specifically if you're trying to pivot into a new field or industry, you need to then figure out, what industry should I even go into? Your values and your interests help you make that determination. You're thinking, okay, what kind of company culture will fit me? Your values will help you filter that. You're asking yourself, what roles exist outside my current field that I am actually qualified for? The skills that you enjoy using will help you see that. When you don't have this clarity around these three things, you are wasting time scrolling job boards, hoping something jumps out at you, applying randomly to roles that sound interesting without even knowing if they will actually fit. You're making all these lateral moves, new titles, same, you know, miserable feeling, and you're wondering why nothing is getting better, or you're jumping from job to job within 6 months, and now you feel like you've wasted time. Meanwhile, when you have this clarity, you stop guessing about what will fit because you know what will fit. Like, you know what you're looking for, you know what to avoid, and you can make strategic moves instead of desperate ones. You can actually pivot into work that genuinely aligns with who you are, and your body just gets to rest at work for the first time in years because you're not spending all your time scanning and trying to survive and looking if this is the right place for you or not. So those are the three things that you need to know about yourself if you want to successfully pivot: your values, your interest, and your skills. This is the foundational work for a successful career pivot. This is what separates making a strategic move from making a desperate move. This is what keeps you from ending up in another misaligned job, wondering what went wrong. And this is the work that most people try to skip because they think they already know themselves. And you think, oh, I am me. I live with myself. I know what I want. But knowing yourself intellectually and getting honest about what you actually want are two very, very different things. Okay. So if you're hearing this and you're thinking, okay, I understand these three things matter, but I still don't know how to actually clarify my values or my interests or my skills, you still feel stuck, then let's have a conversation. This is exactly what I help my clients do. I would love to get on a free career clarity call with you where we can talk more about what is happening in your career, what is going wrong, what is keeping you stuck in that job you don't like. And then I will make recommendations for the best way for us to work together and share how exactly I can help you pivot into a more fulfilling career that actually pays you more. If you go to hercareerdoctor.com/call, C-A-L-L, call, that link is also in the description of this episode, you can schedule a free career clarity call with me so we can talk more about how I can help you clarify these three things and make a successful career pivot. Thank you for listening to this episode. As usual, I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, please don't forget to leave us a review or a rating on whatever platform you're listening on. And I will catch you on the next episode. If you are done waiting for things to get better on their own and you're ready to get clear on what your next career move actually is, I want to invite you to schedule a free career clarity call with me. You can go to hercareerdoctor.com/call. On the call, we'll talk about where you are in your career right now, where you want to be, and exactly what it will take to help you hit those career goals so you can be fulfilled in your career while getting paid well. Again, that URL is hercareerdoctor.com/call. And that link is also going to be in the episode description below. I can't wait to talk with you.